So in our last class, we were talking about Jehu. And let's look at 2 Kings 9 for a minute. 2 Kings 9, 6. Just to refresh our mind a little bit. The second half of it, it says, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I have anointed you king over the people of the Lord, even over Israel. You shall strike the house of Ahab, your master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish." So God's going to destroy the whole house of Ahab. Remember that we were in our last class, we were talking about King Joram or Jehoram, Jehoram, and that he had returned to Jezreel to be healed of the wounds that the Arameans had inflicted on him. And also Jehu and his men, they set out to go to Jezreel. And then we saw that as he was riding in, what all was going on. But then we get to a point that Joram and Ahaziah meet Jehu. And they're at the property of Naboth. And in 2 Kings, let's read 9:22. 2 Kings 9:22. It says, "When Joram saw Jehu, he said, 'Is it peace, Jehu?' And he answered, 'What peace? So long as the harlotries of your mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many.' So Joram reigned about and fled and said to Ahaziah, 'There's treachery, O Ahaziah.' And Jehu drew his bow with his full strength, shot Joram between his arms, and the arrow went through his heart and sank in his chariot." So we see that Jehu is killed. And we also see that Ahaziah was killed also. So in basically 841 BC, both of these kings died. You have Jehoram or Joram, king of Israel, and Ahaziah, the king of Judah. Now it says in some of the verses, we read this in the last class, but Joram was cast into the field of Naboth. And then it also said that Ahaziah was buried with his fathers in the city of David. So that is pretty much where we left off in our last class. And now we're in a section where Jehu is in Jezreel and he's about to deal with Jezebel. Let's read verse 30. It says, "When Jehu came to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her eyes and adorned her head and looked out the window. As Jehu entered the gate, she said, 'Is it well, Zimri, your master's murderer?' Then he lifted up his face to the window and said, 'Who is on my side? Who?' And two or three officials looked down at him." I asked a question on the lesson. It says, how does Jezebel die? Okay. So they throw her out the window. It says in verse 33, he says to them, "Throw her down." So they threw her down, and some of the blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trampled her underfoot. So we see that Jezebel dies. It also says that when he came in, he ate and drank, and he said, "See now to this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter." They went to bury her, but they found nothing more of her than the skull and the feet of the and the palms of her hands. So all they found was a skull and then her feet and the palms of her hands. And then in 36, Jehu, he says, therefore they returned and told him. And Jehu said, "This is the word of the Lord, which he spoke by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, 'In the property of Jezreel, the dogs shall eat the flesh of Jezebel.'" And the corpse of Jezebel will be as dung on the face of the field in the property of Jezreel, so they cannot say, "This is Jezebel." So Jehu says that this is what the Lord said. And then when we get into chapter 10, it tells us about Ahab, that he still had 70 sons in Samaria. It says, "Now Ahab had 70 sons in Samaria, and Jehu wrote letters and sent them to Samaria to the rulers of Jezreel, the elders and the guardians of the children of Ahab, saying, 'Now, when this letter comes to you, since your master's sons are with you, as well as the chariots and horses and the fortified city and the weapons, select the best and the fittest of your master's sons, set him on his father's throne, and fight for your master's house.'" So Jehu writes and instructs these rulers. And he says to pick the fittest and to set them on the throne. But they don't want to do that. They feared greatly and said, "Behold, the two kings did not stand before him. How then can we stand?" So out of fear, they didn't want to do what Jehu was originally suggesting, because they know what he had done to Joram and Ahaziah. And the one who was over the household, and he who was over the city, the elders and the guardians of the children, sent word to Jehu saying, "We are your servants." So they write him back, and he said, they're saying, "We are your servants. All that you say to us, we will do. We will not make any man king. Do what is good in your sight." So they state that they will serve him. And Jehu writes them back. Verse 6 tells us, it says, "Then he wrote a letter to them a second time, saying, 'If you are on my side, and you will listen to my voice, take the heads of the men, your master's sons, and come to me at Jezreel tomorrow about this time.' Now the king's sons, 70 persons, were with the great men of the city who were rearing them." And then in verse 7, it tells us what they did. So they wiped them out. In verse 7, "When the letter came to them, they took the king's sons and slaughtered them, 70 persons, and put their heads in baskets and sent them to him at Jezreel. When the messengers came and told him, saying, 'They have brought the heads of the king's sons,' he said, put them in two heaps at the entrance of the gate until morning. Now in the morning, he went out and stood and said to the people, or all the people, "You're innocent. Behold, I conspired against my master and killed him, but who killed all these? Now then that there shall fall, or know then that there shall fall to the earth nothing of the word of the Lord, which the Lord spoke concerning the house of Ahab, for the Lord has done what he spoke through his servant Elijah." So Jehu killed all who remained of the house of Ahab in Jezreel, and all his great men, and his acquaintances, and his priests, until he left him without a survivor. So basically, like I said, wipes them all out. Kills the 70 sons. And again, we see that this is because of what the Lord had spoken through Elijah. And this was referring back to 1 Kings 21. You know, when the Lord said he would cut off from Ahab every male, and that his house would be like the house of Jeroboam and the house of Baasha. Remember that he's going to destroy those dynasties. So he destroyed the dynasties because of what they had done. And because of the provocation, or the way that they provoked the Lord to anger, and because they had made Israel sin. But remember, he also went on to say that that wasn't going to happen in Ahab's time, that this would happen to his sons, or in his sons' days. And that's what we see taking place. And it's taking place according to the word of the Lord. Did I hear somebody have a comment? Or okay. And any thoughts, questions, or okay. So on the way to Samaria, we see that Jehu runs into some relatives of King Ahaziah. In 2 Kings 10. In verse 12 it says, "Then he arose and departed and went to Samaria. On the way while he was at Beth Eked of the shepherds, Jehu met the relatives of Ahaziah, king of Judah, and said, 'Who are you?' And they answered, 'We are the relatives of Ahaziah, and we have come down to greet the sons of the king and the sons of the queen mother.'" Jehu says, "Take them alive." So they took them alive and killed them at the pit of Beth Eked, 42 men. And he left none of them. So he kills these 42 men, as it stated, these were relatives. Footnote says brothers. And then we'll see that it talks about Jonadab or Jehonadab. We're going to see something that's about to take place here. Verse 15 says that now when he departed from there, he met Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him. And he greeted him and said to him, "Is your heart right? As my heart is with your heart." And Jehonadab answered, "It is." Jehu said, "If it is, give me your hand." And he gave him his hand, and he took him up into the chariot. He said, "Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord." So he made him ride in his chariot. When he came to Samaria, he killed all who remained to Ahab in Samaria until he had destroyed him according to the word of the Lord, which he has spoken to Elijah. So again, we see these things taking place that were according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken to Elijah. And he's going to show his zeal for the Lord, which he did when he killed these those that remained in Jezreel and in Samaria. But he's also going to continue to show his zeal in this next section that we're going to read about concerning Baal. So think about this. Jehu has destroyed the house of Ahab. And now he's going to focus on something that was a result of the house of Ahab, this idolatry, this, or some of it, as far as the worshiping of Baal. So we're going to see that he starts to address that. But I'll put a question on the lesson. What does Jehu tell the people concerning Baal? What's he say to them about Baal? That's right. That's right. He's trying to get them in there. He said that Ahab served Baal a little. Jehu will serve him much. So he's, you know, saying, hey, I am going to really serve Baal. And this is a ploy or a way to get the worshipers of Baal together. So, and now, in verse 19 says, and now summon all the prophets of Baal, all his worshipers, all his priests. Let no one be missing, for have a great sacrifice for Baal. There will be a great sacrifice. And it says here, whoever is missing shall not live. But Jehu did it in cunning in order that he might destroy the worshipers of Baal. So again, this is a ploy to get them, all these worshipers of Baal, together. Jehu says, sanctify a solemn assembly for Baal, and they proclaimed it. Then Jehu sent throughout Israel, and all the worshipers of Baal came, so that there was not a man left who did not come. And when they went into the house of Baal was filled from one end to the other. So he has the house of Baal full from one end to the other. He said to the one who was in charge of the wardrobe, bring out garments for all the worshipers of Baal. So he brought out garments for them. Jehu went into the house of Baal with Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, and said to the worshipers of Baal, search and see that there is here with you none of the servants of the Lord, but only the worshipers of Baal. So note that he wants to make sure that these are only the worshipers of Baal. You know, he tells them to search out and make sure that none of these are worshipers of the Lord, but only worshipers of Baal. Then they went in to offer sacrifices and burnt offerings. Now Jehu had stationed for himself 80 men outside. And he said, now note what he tells them, because he wants to make sure that this gets taken care of. Before I do that, I'm going to end up answering my question on the lesson. So let me just ask, what does Jehu do to the worshipers of Baal? Okay, he's going to kill them all, right? Okay, and then so in verse 24 and continuing, that's where we see some of what's being described, what's going to take place. and said, now Jehu had stationed for himself 80 men outside. And he said, the one who permits any of the men whom I bring into your hands to escape shall give up his life in exchange. So he wants to make sure they understand, you know, they're going to kill these, you know, kill all of these. So then it came about, as soon as he had finished offering the burnt offering, that Jehu said to the guard and to the royal officers, go in, kill them, let none come out. And they killed them with the edge of the sword. And the guard and the royal officers threw them out and went to the inner room of the house of Baal. They brought out the sacred pillars of the house of Baal and burned them. They also broke down the sacred pillar of Baal and broke down the house of Baal and made it a latrine to this day. Thus Jehu eradicated Baal out of Israel. So it says that he eradicated Baal out of Israel. He might have taken care of what concerning Baal, you know, he might have eradicated that. But we're going to see that he still caused Israel to sin. Because they're still going to be following in the sins of Jeroboam. Any questions or thoughts up to this point? Yes, ma'am.
I thought it was interesting that in verse 27, it talks about it being made of a train.
Yeah.
And it's just how awful it was to the sight of the Lord, or to the ones who was trying to get rid of Baal worship. You know, a lot of people today say, well, this is not a merciful God that can do this, but this is how bad worship
is to God.
Hates
it. Yeah.
It's wrapped against it. And he's not
going to
show mercy.
Right.
And people don't understand. That's how
it's
wrong.
Yes, ma'am.
Do
you have a comment, Steve?
Well, this section that you're reading, this section on things that runs through the Bible, and good people suffer and are mistreated and killed by wicked people, and think about what does God deserve? But you started out reading today from chapter 9, and he said, the reason I'm going to do this is that I'm going to avenge the blood of my servants and prophets. Mm-hmm. So these men had died before at different times. Did God forget it? No, I'm going to avenge their blood. But you get over to the New Testament, and we have Jesus preaching about the destruction of Jerusalem. You have a very similar thing. And he talks to them, he said, well, you may fall the guilt of all the righteous blood shed on the earth, the blood of righteous Abel, the blood of Zechariah. But the fall of Jerusalem was again God avenging the blood of righteous people who had suffered for his name. You get the book of Revelation, you have people under the throne asking, said, how long will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who fell on the earth? But people were being killed for their faith then.
Yes, sir.
And this is possibly a reference again to the destruction of Jerusalem. Shortly, if Revelation was written before 70 AD. And then, one other point, when Paul was writing to the Roman Christians, he did say this, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So I don't have the right to see vengeance.
Right.
Jehu did, because he was an agent of God.
Yes.
And so there is killing that's at the dictate of God to avenge the blood of righteousness. So I have a prophet today telling us why God does certain things, but we know that throughout history, he has not forgotten the righteous to die his cause.
Yes, sir. Good point. Yeah, he hasn't forgotten. And we do see some of this playing out that, you know, he is avenging these things. And both good points. Any other thoughts or comments? Good thoughts. Thank you. So, in verse 29, yeah, that's right. Verse 29, it says, because we're, like I stated, it states that he eradicated Baal, eradicated Baal out of Israel, but he didn't, his heart was not fully with the Lord, as I think the way it states it. We'll see here in a minute. But in verse 29, it says, however, as for the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which he made Israel to sin. Remember, we've talked about that. And others that followed into those sins that Jeroboam had created. It says, from these Jehu did not depart, even the golden calves that were at Bethel and that were at Dan. The Lord said to Jehu, because you have done well in the executing what is right in my eyes, like Steve mentioned, you know, the Lord used Jehu, and Jehu executed what the Lord had asked him to do, and was, as it showed, zealous in doing those things. But we'll go on to see, you know, like it's stated in here, he was still following some of the sins of Jeroboam. It says, because you have done well in executing what is right in my eyes, and have done to the house of Ahab according to all that was in my heart, your sons of the fourth generation shall sit on the throne of Israel. But the next verse states that Jehu was not careful to walk in the law of the Lord, the God of Israel, with all his heart. He did not part from the sins of Jeroboam, in which he made Israel sin. Remember, we've talked about that, these kings and their influence, the things that they're doing. So he continued in the sins of Jeroboam, and then he made Israel sin. And it says that in those days the Lord began to cut off portions from Israel. And Hazael defeated them throughout the territory of Israel, from the Jordan eastward, all the land of Gilead, the Gadites and the Reubenites, Manassites, from Aroer, which is by the valley of Arnon, even Gilead and Bashan. Now the rest of the acts of Jehu and all that he did and all his might, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And then it says that Jehu slept with his fathers. They buried him in Samaria. And Jehoahaz, his son, became king in his place. Now the time which Jehu reigned over Israel and Samaria was 28 years. And some info there if you're filling out your chart. So we see that he dies and his son Jehoahaz becomes king in his place.
Craig, it's interesting to me when it talks about how that he still followed in the sins of Jeroboam. From my understanding, what the text is saying is he got rid of the other religions, got rid of the Baals, he put down the temples, but there's still a wrong way to worship God. Jeroboam, he made these high places, and he made the golden calves to worship because it's convenient as opposed to going to Jerusalem. And so, even if there aren't any other religions or other gods in the sense of other religious gods, there's still a wrong way to worship God. You do it as he would have you do it. That's not worshiping the golden calf. Not doing what's convenient, worshiping in your local area because that's what's convenient to you. You do it as he would want you. There's no half measure here.
Right.
If you do a half measure, you know, you would think, David was a good king. Look what he did for the nation. He followed God and what he would have him to do, but yet he didn't worship in the way that he should have. He didn't turn people back.
Yeah.
Like where it says here, it says, he was not careful to walk in the law of the Lord.
Right.
Which Moses particularly told them, thousands of different religions, but we do it from my way.
Right.
It's still God. It's not Allah, and it's not Buddha, and it's not Hinduism, so I'm a Christian. But then there's the, we need to save Israel because it's the Holy Land, and then we need to worship the way we choose to worship. How about we do it with God when we have this view? Because there's no happening. We must follow the law carefully, or else we'll be judged by Jacob. I just thought that was interesting because you would think he was a good king, but he wasn't.
Right. And it's a good point you bring up because, like you said, for convenience, because that was some of the issue with, you know, with the calves and the golden calf and Bethel and Dan. That was, you know, because it's closer as one of the things that was supposedly why that was done. But you're right. It's not following what was commanded. And that's, you know, even when he states that he didn't do it with a full heart, or with all his heart, I think is the what it actually uses in verse 31, because it states that he was not careful to walk in the law of the Lord, like you said, the God of Israel, with all his heart. And what it starts building on is because he was doing these things, like you said, he was worshiping what Jeroboam had set up. And then, so he continued to make Israel sin like others had made Israel sin in the past by their example. So, good thoughts, good comments. Anybody else have any thoughts or comments? Or okay. No? Okay. We finished lesson five. Okay, so everybody have a lesson six? Anybody need lesson six? Anybody else? Let me open the door here. Right. So lesson six, we will get started on that. Okay, we've got about, okay, about 9 minutes. Okay. So lesson six. I stated on there that this is basically going to be, well, in 2 Kings, it's going to be the chapters 11 and 12. And then if you can also read 2 Chronicles 22, 10 through chapter 24. In 2 Kings 10, where we just ended, we saw that it ended with the death of Jehu. And he died in 814 B.C. And then chapter 11 of 2 Kings starts with Athaliah. Now we're backing up in time again, as we've seen it do before, because you'll be talking about one kingdom and they'll make some statements and such and work on some certain things, and then they jump back over to the other kingdom. So you have some time words going back and forth a little bit. So the time we're looking at about right now is around 841. Remember that Jehu killed Jehoram, the king of Israel, and became the king of Israel. And we know that took place in 841. Jehu also killed Ahaziah, the king of Judah, the same day. So chapters 9 and chapters 10 were more about Jehu and what he did according to the word of the Lord. except for what it recorded concerning Ahaziah. It was mostly concentrating on the northern kingdom and the part that Jehu played in that. So now we're going to look at the southern kingdom and what was happening to it during some of this same time period. And during the same time period of Jehu. We're going to see Athaliah reigning over Judah. Now, we've already learned some things about Athaliah from some of the previous classes. She's from the northern kingdom. We saw that, well, 2 Kings 8, verse 26 told us that she was the granddaughter of King Omri. And we saw in 2 Chronicles 21:6 that she was the daughter of Ahab, king of Israel, and that she was the wife of Jehoram, king of Judah. So she's from the northern kingdom and marries into the southern kingdom. She marries Jehoram. Now, I stayed on the lesson, says 2 Kings 11, verse 1. When Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she rose and destroyed all the royal offspring. So, the first thing that she does was to destroy the royal offspring. Or at least she thought that that's what she had accomplished. But let's think about this for a minute. She's the mother. She's basically, the royal offspring's her grandsons. You know, so she is going to be destroying her kin, if you want, her grandchildren. So think about it in that way. But think about why she's doing that and what she's trying to accomplish. And remember where she comes from. You know, the evils from her family. So she's going to destroy the royal offspring. And remember that also, you know, because we said she was married to Jehoram, king of Judah. And that's one thing he had done. But remember, she was also an influence. So I don't know if that played some of the part of that. But Jehoram, king of Judah, killed all his brothers. You know, that's one thing he did. So, talking about a loving family here. It's hard to consider what she was willing to do just in order to reign, to kill her family. But we see here, I put a question on there. What does Ahaziah's sister do? There's something that she does. Okay, she saves Joash. That's right. So Athaliah thinks that she's killing all of the offspring, but there's one that she didn't know about. So she hid Ahaziah's son, Joash. Verse 2, it says, but Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons who were being put to death. Placed him and his nurse in the bedroom, so they hid him from Athaliah, and he was not put to death. So he was hidden with her in the house of the Lord 6 years while Athaliah was reigning over the land. So, you know, we call her Queen Athaliah, or because she usurped, but she was reigning over the land, it states here, for 6 years. We've only got about a minute left. So I want to go ahead. I'm going to stop where we're at now, unless y'all have any comments or thoughts. And that way we can pick up in that thought in our next class. Any other comments or thoughts or anything? Okay. Again, thank y'all.